Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Hey guys, it's a new year, and don't forget, if you like to support The Instance and other shows like it on the Frog Pants Network, there's a really simple, easy, and inexpensive way to do it. Head on over to patreon.com/frogpants and consider contributing today. That's patreon.com/frogpants.
You are listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 478. I'm Scott Johnson with Terpster in jolly old England. What's going on,
jolly
man?
Old England. It's all good. It's just, you know, it's old, but it's jolly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a nice mix, I'd say.
Have you Brexited yet? You haven't Brexited yet,
no,
have you?
No, we're okay. Going to have a hard Brexit. Mm. And I was excited because I thought it was breakfast. And I was you know, I voted for breakfast. I didn't know that meant we had to leave Europe. You know, I was like, I don't want a continental breakfast. Ugh.
Ooh,
no, I want an English breakfast.
An island breakfast,
sadly,
really.
Yeah. Exactly. I misunderstood the whole concept, and now our currency is almost as worthless as yours.
Yeah.
So,
it's working out great.
It's working out great. You know, it's fine. It's fine.
It's
everyone
all fine.
Has their day in the sun, and it's just, you know, ours is setting. And I just like
years
to say,
lasted
remember
a
us.
Few thousand years, though. I mean,
yeah, but remember us for those
good.
Years.
Yeah.
Exactly. They were good years.
Yeah.
They were really good years.
The years where you guys owned and ran everything, those were good years,
the
right?
The sun never set on the English Empire, the British Empire, because it was just, you know, we had mirrors and stuff
big.
Like that. Exactly, yeah. And it was big.
Hold on a second.
You guys own the sun, I think, right? You had...
colonized
yeah,
it?
I mean, he's Australian, Rupert Murdoch, but yeah, technically it's an English-British paper, I think. But yeah. So we've got them all.
Here's the question. I've never known that's what that saying meant, that the sun never sets on whatever. That it's because you're so spread out that you're always, it's daytime in one of your places
daytime
all the time.
Somewhere in England.
Somewhere, exactly.
I never
like
knew
that the sun never sets on the Frog Pants audience.
No, it never occurred to me. It's like this.
What did you think it was? Do you think it was just
the first
like,
time I heard that, I knew exactly what that meant.
We don't need nightlights, but we are scared of the dark. But it's okay, because the sun never sets.
That's what I thought. I thought it was like, we're so cool that we never stop going. This day never ends for us.
Really? I guess so.
Yeah.
Because,
well, you know, but like Land of the Rising Sun, because, you know.
Well, that I knew.
Like on the side of the planet where the sun is rising, like if I look that, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
now that I knew. And when you always say the sun always sets in the west, I get that. Like there's lots of sun references I totally get. But that
that's
one, for some reason.
The west thing, isn't it? That's just what happens.
No, that's true.
It's not like, what do you mean by that, sensei? Well, I mean that the sun sets in the, yeah, really? Yeah, okay.
It's really, deep, it's what you gotta really, right there, yeah, you gotta really suss that one out. But the other one I thought was more philosophical, that's all. I thought it was like a...
Well, yeah, the thing is as well, but anyway, I think we've really dived in deep into that. If you think how much we dived into that weight until you hear the in-depth 7.2 PTR information.
Oh, it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. By the way, speaking
it's
of huge,
it's
huge. We should mention this real quick. As we record, the presidential inauguration is happening right now, where if you've just time traveled here, I'm going to tell you something that's going to sound crazy, but it's okay.
Sound like you're pranking them.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, is Ashton Kutcher going to jump out? You've come from far in the past, guys.
Punks
is no longer a thing. Don't worry.
Kutcher's just as
he
likely.
He did okay, though.
He could
he
run
okay.
one year.
Mila Kunis, who plays World of Warcraft,
she's
bringing
right.
it back to the show.
Yeah, that's right. Well done. That's happening right now. And the reason I bring this up is I thought at the top of the show before we got started, we talked a little bit about the idea of transfer of power in Azeroth, because we recently had a change there as well, both on the Alliance and Horde side. So who would you want in there if who we have right now is the Dark Lady herself, Sylvanas, on the Horde side. And who's running shit over there on the Alliance?
King Anduin Rin.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Boy King, as some call him.
Yeah, right.
Or as I call him, Justin Timberlake, circa kind of, you know, early 2000s. He's got great.
Is he really, or is I feel like there's a little bit of a struggle over there. I mean, I don't play Alliance, but
yeah.
Everything I've gathered, there's like Gen and Jaina and everybody's
Gen's
just
going out there. Jaina's not really officially recognized. She's like the Nigel Farage of the Brexit equivalent of the Alliance. She's all saying like, you know, like, oh, we need to leave and get away from these Horde. They're, and we're like, we've had a great prosperous relationship with the Horde. Why would we want to? They're one of our key trading partners. We don't. She's like, no.
She's pissed.
Alliance alone.
Yeah.
No Horde.
Remember Theramore, she says a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A lot.
A very great deal. So, all right. But is it, are we happy with our leaders? Are we okay with, first of all,
you know, Scott, I think it's time we give our leaders a chance, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not, it's not that, that I voted for Sylvanas, but Sylvanas is my war chief and I have to support her.
I don't
want
to, I don't want Sylvanas to fail. I want her to succeed.
No, yeah. Absolutely not. I mean,
exactly.
You got to remember,
she's
remember
not,
when
she's
people
not
wanted
someone
Goldman
else's war chief. She's all of our war chief.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter who chose her.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter kind of, you know, all of the things she's done in the past where people have been like, really? And now she's the war chief. Are you sure? Is someone playing a trick on me? Ashton Kutcher, where are you?
Yeah.
You
but know, maybe it's... maybe because she was chosen by an ailing troll. Again, I'm not trying to
could
make
be
a
foreign power had some influence in it.
I mean,
allegedly. But I think you'll find that they've always had an influence in these sorts of things.
The fact though just, that we can ignore the fact that Sylvanas has like murdered people's sons and you know had said a lot of really really controversial things and we
the
still
line between her
is
and
kind
the
of amazing
King.
But
very blurry.
Yeah,
very blurry.
Yeah, very blurry.
But, you know, like, and the fact that she's literally dead. I mean, these are all things that are a little bit crazy to accept in your new war chief.
Yeah,
but
and that's
look,
yeah.
At this point, that's all water under the bridge.
Sure.
We just have to move forward.
Sure.
And just you know, hope for the best, right?
Yeah, it's not a perfect.
There were significant reports of hacking going on.
Yeah.
It turned out it was completely legitimate. They were just chopping trees. It was fine. So. We're okay with that kind of hacking.
There was a lot of Draenor hacking going on.
Yeah,
exactly.
She is.
That's fine. That's fine. It wasn't like Glider or anything that goes against the terms of service.
Right.
So it's cool.
She is tacitly responsible for the death of the opposition. If you think about it, she blew out of there, blew a horn and got out. And now we have a green puff of smoke.
I mean, again, I like to blame Gul'dan for that. Mm. But I guess you could blame her.
Yeah. Well, that's
socialist.
My point. She bailed.
Gotcha.
All right, so
you're
so,
red. You're a communist, red-bellied red.
Do you think that we are done in World of Warcraft? We're certainly not done with him in things like Heroes of the Storm. I'm sure that one day we'll see him. His close comparison of Zul'jin is already in the game, and he's pretty great. So we'll probably see Vol'jin there. But do you think we're ever gonna?
I think we're done with him?
Get
Vol'jin back. Yeah, we're not done with Vol'jin.
Okay.
Come on, he had a whole book where he was like hanging out with the Lower of Death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a cool character, and I don't think that Blizzard being who they are, that we won't see Vol'jin back in some way for some expansion at some point in time.
Oh, Vol'jin's so hot right now too.
Yeah, exactly. I think Varian's pretty gone. He was blown into like a billion pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So like maybe his soul will be able to be put into some vessel.
I mean, let's be honest, when you die, you don't really die in World of Warcraft, right?
No, exactly. Well, you tend to in a cutscene, and that's the thing. So both of them did die in cutscenes, which is the most dangerous place. If you were ever in a cutscene in World of Warcraft, please do be careful.
Yeah.
Because, you know...
A lot of death in there.
Yeah, you know, a lot of death in cutscenes.
Sure. I think there's still a fist holding the decaying remains of Gary Hellscream out in the middle of... The freaking wherever it is. Where is he killed? I forget where they
fought.
Oh, Negrand, yeah. I think there's still a fist holding his now necrotic body. I always like to think of that. Did anyone go out there and clean that up? Did he get a burial? Like zero.
He just walked away. Like cool guys never look at explosions, right?
Yeah, well, even then
like, no, I'm out.
After that though, that's how Shaman's got the Doomhammer though, because the elements apparently were really upset about that.
Yeah.
They were like, Thrall, you know what? We're not sure about that action. And we don't want to be your friend anymore. And so Thrall was, you know, kind of, you know, that's why he gave up the Doomhammer and has gone to do some soul searching.
Yeah.
I think what they find out is it's not the elements that think he was in the wrong. It was Thrall.
Oh.
It was his own self-belief.
A little,
he needs to believe in himself a bit more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, introspection. I understand. Totally get it.
So I think you don't have to worry about though, Scott, because since it was in the Grand, a Kodo came by, you know, and pooped on it or ate it or whatever.
Took a big shit right on
it. That'd be a question of future expansion where you have to pick up the
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
To return the war chief to the land of the living. But first, we need to find his corpse pieces.
I like
it. Don't search these dung piles. It's like, oh, really?
I'm looking forward to that expansion. It's going to be good. All right. Well, the future, who knows what the future holds for the likes of Vol'jin. I will say again, Zul'jin in Heroes is pretty.
I guess my question is, do you think Sylvanas will make it through the first term? You know?
Yeah, it should be all right.
It's been a tough job. Like, you know, there's not.
I don't think she realized how much went into this job when she took it. But at her first security meetings, she was like, oh, I have to do this.
There's things I have to do. Yeah, there was a feeling early on with her and her candidacy.
Just to kind of continue killing Arthas.
Yeah, I think she thought it was a long shot and kind of a joke. Like, I don't think she really thought she's just going to shake some things up, get some people riled up, and then go on about her undead raising, you know, killing business, Dark Lady stuff. And then it happened. And then Vol'jin, the only voter in that democracy, said, hey, yo, I'm casting my vote for you, Mon.
You won the vote 100%. So yeah. Here you go.
Boom. Yeah. But a vast number of Kalimdorians did not, she's got really low approval ratings. Nobody wants her in there. So we'll see how she does. None of this is an analog to a real life event, everybody. We're just talking about Azeroth. That's all we're doing here. So don't go thinking it's something else. Or do, because totally that's what we're doing. All right. Hey, look at this. We're going to do some news.
She's going to Moffa, dude. Make Azeroth forsaken.
I don't think that's her real hair. All right. Hey, let's talk about 7.2. It's on the PTR, and things are looking pretty cool for the upcoming patch. Major stuff includes, and we'll break down some of these individually, but here is the short list. The Tomb of Sargeras raid, and kill Jaden as the final boss. Do you think... Terpster, our resident lore man, that Kill Jaden will be dead Jaden by the end of this expansion? Or...
No, not by the end of this patch, but by the end of this expansion, yes.
Okay. So what are we going to do? Is he going to leave? Is he going to fight him to almost death? And then
I think he's got... Exactly. He's got to be like, I'm out of here. Mm. And he goes back to Argus, and that is where we are going in 7.3.
That's right.
So I think he'll open the door and forget to close it on his way out. What an idiot.
Yeah.
So I imagine that's what will happen.
Yeah.
So it might go a bit Dragon Ball Z and be like, this is only a taste of my power. Come and face me on my planet. Or something like that. And you'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, fine.
All right, that's right. First, we are going to Argus. I keep forgetting we're going there. And clearly he would be...
The cooler thing for me is in this Tomb of Sargeras raid, we get to fight the avatar of Sargeras, which is his cool kind of... corporeal form that he came into back when he was fighting Aegwynn way back when, and this was from there he like possessed her womb and Medivh then was born and he had Sargeras whispering away inside him, so it's just one of the first proper times we get to see what Sargeras looked like, and albeit, you know, like, oh, it's an avatar, it's not, you know, it's a version of him, so I mean he looks quite basic, he looks kind of like an Eredar but with Demon Hunter horns, I think he'll look cooler in real life, when we get to him.
He's way demon-y.
But obviously, he's kind of a little bit Eye of Sauron at the moment. He just seems to be kind of just this big scary eye, which I guess works.
And in the audio play they did, he was like a disembodied voice telling Gul'dan what to do,
because that's kind of what's happened, is that, you know, he's when he was defeated at this point, it's all kind of gone a bit Pete Tong for him. He had it with the Well of Eternity exploding and kind of being halfway through and all of those things that happened. He's not had a good time of it.
No.
And again, this expansion is all meant to be about us kind of drawing a line under Legion and just saying, you know what, Legion, check, done. Next global catastrophe. What are we up to? What's next? And it's like the Hosen and Jinyu have become joined either side, and they want to go to the seas. It's like, oh, cool, let's play on ships. Yeah, that would be the next thing. But I think having something cool with the Legion I can't wait.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be great. All right, so let's actually break down that raid real quick, and then you can. I want you to wedge in any lore knowledge you may have about the following.
Okay.
It was the Temple of Ilune, Tomb of Sargeras.
No idea.
Okay. Venture into underground caverns where allies of Queen Ashara await us. Okay, this is where we're headed. Another part of the tomb has been sealed since the time of the Sundering. That was a long time ago. So, give me some context. When was that?
So Sundering was when the Well of Eternity, the big font of power of Azeroth, the Titan soul within our planet, weeping wound, was the Well of Eternity.
Yeah.
And basically that was tried to turn into a portal to bring Sargeras through into our world by Queen Ashara. Some old adventurers, you might know them, Malfurion, Illidan, Stormrage, Tyrande. They were
my love.
They were the forces that stopped that happening.
Yeah.
And in doing so, they had a little whoopsie and exploded the planet in half, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's how we got the Sundering. That's where Kalimdor shattered into two. And we got the Eastern Kingdoms, which is where all the cool races live, mm-hmm. Except Taurans. And then you've got Kalimdor on the other side. And the Well of Eternity is the Maelstrom now. So that's where that big crazy thing
is.
I
didn't know you were secretly a Tauren fan. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I play Tauren.
All right. That's fine.
Luther's my main at the moment.
All right.
For now.
All right.
I'm very fickle, though, as well.
All right.
But, you know.
I don't know how I missed that. I thought it was all about gnomes and shitty races and stuff for you.
Yeah, well, you know, occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been known to... been known to gnome.
All right, so that happened. Yeah. Then you got
The thing is, what you got to bear in mind is that Queen Ashara and her allies waiting for us is not like, oh, great, some backup. You know, we got to fight through a load of Naga, basically.
Yeah.
So they're in there. What are they looking for? So we'll see what's going on there. That'd be fun.
Yep. And then you got to fight off some Pit Lords at the beginning. They're basically big Manoroth looking dudes. And then you got a melee variant of the Jailer in the second boss, or is the second boss. And the Naga Brute and Sea Witch are up next. Then you got Fallen Avatar Sargeras as the other boss. And then you've got Kil'jaeden himself as the final boss. 9 total in this this particular content. So that's up on the patch or on the PTR right now. If you are one of those crazy, insane people that go and play tons of raid content when it's on PTR, then you're probably already doing it. And let us know how it goes.
So the cooler thing as well is there's a new dungeon, the Cathedral of Eternal Night.
Yeah.
So that's got 4 bosses in it, and that is basically going up the Tomb of Sargeras. In the raid, we go down. In the dungeon, we go up, and we get to use the Aegis of Agrimmar, the most used of all of the Pillars of Creation.
Yeah.
So we get to do that, open it up, go on up, kick some butts.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
And Dills, here's a question for you. So one of the things they're doing, they're splitting Kara in two. And it will be rando runnable. You can run it with randos as Mythic Plus. And it's going to be an upper and lower section. And you can queue for them Heroic, Mythic Plus as well. And let's see, Court of Stars and the Arcway will also become queueable. And then this new dungeon, Cathedral of Eternal Night, 4 boss dungeon, and so on. Does that strike you as Blizzard saying, oh man, dungeons are apparently a huge deal. We really struck gold with our normal Mythic and Heroic level stuff, and the way you progress through dungeons is way better than it's ever been, so we're going to make it more accessible to everybody? Or, as some are suggesting, are they watering it down and already making it for noobs by letting anyone rando in and do whatever?
Well, I mean, Kara right now is we just completed it, and it's I mean, it's not easy, you know, and it's long and the runbacks are long, and but it's really cool, so it's a shame that there's not like everybody in there, right?
Right.
So, you know, a certain part of that, I think, is just let everybody into this really cool piece of content like they've generally done. But this patch is also kind of weird. I was looking through and they also said things like we're turning up the health on enemy damage and health is being increased on Heroic and Mythic dungeons, and the eye levels of gear has been increased. So they're actually tuning the other direction than we're usually used to seeing. So I think really what they're kind of doing is they're just making that more of a way to progress outside of just raiding, right? Like a lot of people just do LFR and then they're like, okay, now I guess I'm done.
Yeah.
And dungeons don't matter anymore.
Right.
So they're kind of making dungeons matter again, which I think is really friggin' cool.
Yeah.
Can't wait to buy the hat.
Yeah, I want to buy a hat that says make dungeons matter again.
Well, a lot of the stuff they've done with these dungeons this time has been really fun and cool. And it's kind of a shame that you grow out of it so fast, right? So, you know, now it just feels like there's going to be more time to spend doing that stuff, which I'm all for.
Me too. Yeah. I think it'll be good.
Okay. I only play dungeons now. Yeah. I think they're so fun. They're snacky. You know, you can kind of queue up for one if you're a tank or a healer quite quickly. Yeah. Just jump in on a lunch break, and then you know you can have a good time.
Yeah, and you're in and you're out. You're not like in there. You don't have to commit a huge amount of time. It's not like these are
kind of sensible plus levels.
Sure.
You know, when you go to like the stupid levels and they start every part of the floor is lava trying to kill you and your next of kin. It's just like I'm out.
Yeah, totally. I think breaking Karazhan up into two is a good move. That thing is for all of its positives.
It's a long one.
It's a beast.
It just sucks because when you kill, like, let's say you kill the first two bosses, right? Yeah. And then you wipe on the third boss, right? Then you're like, you're wiping on like Morose or something, right?
Right.
You're running all the friggin' way back, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's just stupid.
This is a good move.
Break them up a little bit. Let's get rid of the long run backs, and that place would be perfect. But it's amazing when the first time you enter the upside down portion of Karazhan, and everything's like flipped upside down and crazy. You're like tiny and you're fighting rats. And the whole thing was just super well done and really fun and very repeatable, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I have not gotten bored at all after doing a whole bunch of it.
Even more so now, I think, given that it's in two. So people can, have better, easier schedules and try to get that content done. So that'll be good. Also coming with this patch, we have new assaults. They're a lot like the demon invasion stuff pre-expansion.
Yeah. I forgot that there was demons. I was just like,
oh yeah, this expansion is all about demons.
I've just been running around doing world quests and stuff, and I'm like, where are all the demons at?
Right.
Where help me good? Tame Bring this bear. It's okay. Sweet. Yeah, I do you, bro.
Help me kill this goat. All right, but where are the demons? Their goats are kind of like demons, but not quite the same. But
they got horns, okay, and they're angry. You don't want to get up front of one.
And they yell. They yell really loud. They go, "Boo!" So I'm all up for this. I loved it pre-expansion, and I didn't dig too deep onto what you're going
to
actually
get
out of
this. But the cool thing now is we get to do, there's a scenario afterwards.
Yeah.
And there haven't been scenarios for ages.
Yeah.
Now we get to do basically the pre-expansion event. So you clear a zone out to kill the commander. But then you can queue per zone that you clear it in for a three-player scenario. It doesn't matter what spec you are. And you fight on a Legion ship. Mm-hmm. It'd be different content in each zone. But I'm looking forward to the scenarios.
Are those repeatable or we don't know? Do we know?
I imagine they are. Mm. I don't think you'd get much in terms of gear benefit for subsequent run-throughs. But normally with these sorts of things, they make them repeatable. You can play them again, but if there's like a really cool reward, you probably just get the one shot. Mm. But who knows?
All right. You're also going to get your flying and class mounts from the continued Order Hall campaign. They all really look
and
nice.
And flying.
Yeah. And flying.
Don't forget flying.
Yeah.
Going to get flying. Finally.
Yeah. You get to fly.
The thing is, to bear in mind, when those invasion events are happening, all the world quests in that area get shut down.
Yeah.
So in some ways, I'm trying to think, am I going to do the invasion? Or am I just going to try and do another zone where I can do world quests?
Right.
That's the tricky thing. But because we're flying, man, world quests with flying, that's the dream. Because I still got my whistle. Yeah. They ain't taking my whistle away.
No.
So I got the best of both. I can't wait.
Yeah, flying in and out of those is going to make that process seem less grindy now. I think right now I still think it's really well handled. But after, months of that, you start to feel like, okay, I hate the whistle now. I'd rather just drop in here, do my thing, and get out. And now you'll be able to do that, and it feels like you've earned it. So, and you'll have to earn it, of course. Although this time around, unlike Warlords, it's all outdoor content and gameplay. No weird dungeon connected stuff you have to do in order to unlock flying.
Which makes sense, because you can't fly in dungeons. So why make somebody who wants to fly go to a place they can't fly? Explain that to me.
Exactly. Blizzard. Exactly. Yeah. So this just feels like much less of a... Like in Warlords, it felt like, we have to put this in. We don't really want to, but we'll kind of figure out a way. This time it feels like, all right, well, we learned a lot from that, and we can do this the way we want to and make it a a meaningful experience and have people unlock this. And we've timed it long enough where they went for, you know, went long enough without being able to fly. And now you're getting these mounts. I mean, it feels very rewarding this time around. And these mounts are incredible, like beautiful. Some of the most detailed stuff ever. I don't know about you guys, but the Monk one is blowing my mind. Just beautiful, gorgeous mount. Makes me want a Monk, and I don't have one that's leveled anywhere near.
Is it growing up on He-Man that helps on that? Or what's making you like
maybe
the Monk one?
I just think there's something shiny and rad about it. There's the big like Zenyatta balls around its neck, and it's just regal.
Does have
shit.
Magnificent balls. It's right. Just yeah.
It's just really cool. All of them are cool. I don't have one that I look at and go,
man,
well, that's dumb.
I love the Paladin one. It's probably the least kind of drastically different from any other mount in the game.
Yeah.
But it's got like a Warhammer and a Librium on there, and it's beautiful. Love it. Yeah, I just think I really like the look of that. And again, on my Kodo riding Tauren, I get really annoyed that I have to rock out a Kodo every time I press my go faster button. And I think this will replace that.
Yeah.
I think.
You think.
So I'm excited.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, then I'm up in arms until Blizzard fixes it. But I think, to be honest with you, I think the winner's got to be the Shaman.
Oh, you
think
so?
The giant, huge elemental you kind of ride on top of?
Oh,
that
right.
To me is just
that one is pretty
insane.
Cool. Yeah. It's pretty cool. I don't. I have a hard time getting scale in my head. How big is that? Is it as big as like those weird world bosses?
It's a big
and
one. It's a big one. Okay. Well, I don't know actually. I haven't played it. I've only seen screenshots, but it looked big. Mm. It looked like it was, you know, like as big as like two characters on top of one another, and then you're the third on top of their shoulders. In essence, it's big.
Yeah, those are big shoulders to ride on or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's got a lot to live up to.
Yeah, that looks. Those look hot.
They're all really cool. Yeah. They're so cool. Yeah. I can't wait.
I think everybody has a character who is doing. I'm a little behind.
What's the Hunter one? The Hunter one, you get like a weird sort of like,
were tiger unit.
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah. Let me pull this one up real quick.
I mean, it looks quite cool in terms of like it runs around and then it jumps in like.
It's like a
flies
lion,
wings out.
Bat, pigeon. I don't know. It's
squirrel.
Like an amalgamation of every animal you've ever tamed.
Yeah, that's a good. That's a great way to explain it because it's like wolf face for sure.
Yeah,
but the ears are like something else. The it's
got
like
feathers.
Yeah,
got a tail.
Got a great big feather tail. Like it's weird but cool.
Wolf bird.
And it's got like kind of horn spikes armor on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think yeah exactly wolf bird. I think that makes sense.
Wolf bird.
And then mage just get a cool flying disc.
Yeah.
It's a little bit too cool. It's almost trying too hard for me.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. Rogues, as always. Sorry, rogues. You know, it's hard to be a rogue and have something cool and flashy because it's just a raven.
Are you? I haven't actually because during when they announced this at BlizzCon, I was doing probably Hearthstone stuff. But did they know? So what's the deal with the different colors? Is it based on your spec?
Yep. Like
whatever spec you are, it just switches the color of your...
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so. It might be you pick one. I don't, you know, because we haven't seen the quest line yet in terms of like how you get it. But I wouldn't be surprised if you can get it.
Because, you know, like your actual weapon, right? You like decide what it looks like.
Yeah, exactly. I'd imagine it'd be a similar sort of thing to that, where we have either three of them or four of them. But more likely we can like pick it in the artifact view or something like that. Because I mean, because like monks only have the one color variant from what we can see at the moment. I don't know if that's true. That might just be MMO champion, because I'm fairly sure the air elemental was also like a fire one and a water one. But I could be wrong.
I can't imagine it's suddenly like just one class and they're like, oh, you just get this one look.
You get the one.
How do you guys feel about the warrior one? It's probably the least. It just looks like a proto Drake I may have gotten in Lich King or something.
It's a much higher res one.
Yeah.
Wait till you see it from behind, Scott.
Oh, it's got a nice booty. You know what I'm saying? It's got a big axe for a tail.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. And then it's got some loads of weapons on it, like you've got some spare spears and axes, but they look like super kind of throwaway, cheap, like. They came free with a magazine style weapons, less so than our kind of glowing enchanted runed blades.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a cool thing. It's a cool dragon.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to know what you would do really because, you know, otherwise it'd be like a ram or something like that. And it'd be like, oh, I still feel like I lost. So I think the Drake is pretty cool.
Yeah. The people in the chat room are like, the Rogue one is the best one because it's just a raven, and that's badass because ravens are badass.
No, they're not. They're really not. I mean, again, some of the color variants, it's like, you know, it's red or green. But I just think, again, the problem with Rogues is it's like meant to be stealthy. So, I mean, short of like giving them like a B-52 or something, you know, you're always going to come away with it, you know, just looking plain. But not an aeroplane, sadly.
No. A B-52, now that would be a mount.
That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Suddenly, like, they're dropping tactical warheads from their mount. I'm like, oh, come on, Blizzard.
Yeah.
I want to do that.
This is an idea I can get behind. Also, let's see. Oh, PvP Brawls. I want to talk about this for a little bit. So this is what they say about it. It's inspired by Brawls and other Blizzard games, which have been pretty successful across the board, generally speaking. Kind of started with Hearthstone and, you know, moved around to other games.
I mean, yes and no.
Well, like they're sort fun, of, right?
Yeah.
They're not the main game, obviously, but they're nice distractions.
Yeah. No, they're a welcome addition, I think, to any Blizzard game at this point.
I don't know. It's great if you've got a restricted amount to do.
Yeah.
Or you want to be able to have a very quick and rewarding process, but that's gated in terms of a nice reward, but only one a week.
Yeah.
And that's what I think. If the Brawls didn't give packs, I'm out. I'm done. I don't want to do that again.
If the Heroes ones didn't give me 1,000 gold for doing 3 of them and a portrait, I wouldn't do them either.
Yeah. The rewards are definitely very important, for sure, because they're, and also I think the important thing is that the rewards are not something you grind for with these. In any game, like I really, really think that if I had to play 5 brawls in Hearthstone to get my pack, I'd be out. I'd just be like, nope, not doing it.
Yeah,
but do it once, experience it, great. Like that's all great.
It's a good balance, right?
Hopefully they follow that same model, which it looks like they kind of.
Yeah, it feels like a nice balance. So here's what they're doing here. It is a week-long event that varies gameplay and lets you experience PvP in a new way. Brawls will be fun and allow the team to experiment with different modes of PvP gameplay. If they are well received, they could be added into the regular game. So here's some examples. South Shore versus Tarn Mill. Warsong Gulch, you cap the flag without requiring your own flag. So a small variation.
That sounds kind of cool. That's just like a race.
Yeah, right? That does sound like fun.
Idea.
Packed House, a 15 versus 15 arena mode, which is kind of insane. Winter Arathi Basin. They have a low visibility in Arathi Basin due to weather and frozen and water. Oh, and the water's frozen instead of the...
You can run across bits that would have been slow before. You know, it creates new routes and people can't see as far. Mm-hmm. So you can sneak past people easier, backdoor them.
Yeah.
You know, it's exciting.
This one's the most exciting to me. Eye of the Horn, they're calling it. It is Eye of the Storm with everybody on Ram mounts knocking each other off Eye of the Storm. That's amazing. I will play that once and get a good reward. Yeah.
And then be like,
gonna be like,
I'm getting knocked
jousting
up all the time.
Again.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I mean, here's the thing I worry about. The game's not necessarily known for taking aspects of the engine and making mechanics, new mechanics that feel good from a physics standpoint, right? The game doesn't really have a physics engine. And so it never has. And so when somebody dies, they fall into a death animation that is preset. If you blow something up, or even when there's been some destructible environment stuff added to the game, they're really just cosmetic and they go away. But when it's ever come to like the jousting mini games or any of that, the movement and the feeling of those physics moments are bad in this game. So I would worry about that a little bit.
But like Dark Moon Fair has tended to work okay as like a fun thing to do here and there.
Yeah.
And that's got a lot of that, right?
Sure.
But you are right. Like it always feels a little awkward. The world quest where you have to like jump through little glowy balls in the air and stuff. Like it's just a little awkward. It's not doesn't feel like you're playing a platformer, right?
It
definitely feels like you're playing an MMO.
Yeah, it's just the engine's not made for it, and they don't have those systems in place, and that's fine. But that will determine whether I get any enjoyment out of that. But
whether some of this stuff works or not.
Yeah. I mean, what's funny is this is the most akin, I think the closest thing to this in terms of what other brawls are like is probably Heroes of the Storm with the snowball fight thing and with right now they got the Punisher Arena, which is a really good one. Short, fast, random, and fun. But it's like take the existing structure of the multiplayer gameplay and add in some weird mutators. That's really what we're talking about. And if it's fun and I get rewarded for it, I will probably do this every week. If sure. it's no rewards, I may poke in once in a while to see if it's interesting, but I don't know that I'll be as motivated to check it
I'm
out.
Really looking forward to doing some new stuff, PvP-related stuff, because right now I feel a little disenfranchised by PvP. Wow.
Interesting. So, interesting, because last we spoke about PvP at any length, everybody seemed to be a little more high on it. But what's going wrong in your mind? What's the matter with it?
So, well, unless you're doing arenas and stuff and you've got like a team and you're doing all that, like right now it kind of feels like, what's the point, I guess, is how it kind of feels to me. Like, we've reached a point where it seems like Alliance is just much better than Horde for whatever reason. Now I don't even know why.
Skill difference, isn't it? That's from
there. Yes, well, sure. I mean, that's absolutely what it is.
Just raw talent.
At this point, there's nothing to blame it on, like, racial abilities anymore. But I think it's literally the better players are just still on the Horde side or are still on the Alliance side or something for some reason. I don't know why. It's very weird. But like the other night I went in, I had this experience where it felt like, I don't know, 10 battlegrounds in a row or so. As soon as you started losing, half your team just bailed and then never got replaced. Right. So like they were all gone and then you were just fighting 10-on-6, like the entire rest of the fight.
Yeah.
And so it's like it's and then like at the end, you know, there's like no real rewards for when you don't win or you don't get to a certain threshold and when half the team leaves, you know, so you don't get any rewards. So you feel like, why did I stay? Like, what was the point of staying? And then you realize that's why everyone's leaving, right? Because why the hell did I stay?
Yeah.
And then so it's like without having a team that's going forward that you're playing with, if you're like your solo queue experience feels very like you're just at the whim of the people around you, right? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's some odd balance issues and stuff going on as well. So it just kind of felt like awkward. It didn't feel like I was in there doing, getting things done and having like serious battles and having competition. It just kind of felt like I'm in there. I hope this one turns out okay. It sucks. I guess I'm going to stick it out for whatever reason, and like that's kind of been the experience for a while for someone who's, and that's obviously someone who's not playing like with a team of people,
right?
But I think one of the things that the PvP and WoW has always kind of excelled at in the past was allowing you to just have a solo experience in PvP, but that's like a way to play with other people, right? And right now it doesn't feel like we're having that anymore. Like you have to be on an arena team or something to be having fun right now, and that's a little bit unfortunate. So hopefully like this is another wrinkle that gives me something to do even when, you know, things aren't going so well as like just a grinding arena experience, right? Because it just feels like I'm grinding and I'm not really sure what I'm grinding for right now. Now if I had a team and I knew I was going to be starting a 3v3 arena team and we're going to be trying to, you know, get some titles and all that, I'd probably be a little bit more, there's like a light at the end of the tunnel. But as someone who's just kind of playing arena, or not arena, but skirmishes and battlegrounds for the quote unquote fun of it, I feel like there's no fun of it right now. Like right now, it's just like a grind that like is not, I have no control over how well this grind goes.
Yeah.
I pop in, I do my best. Half my team leaves because we lost the first, point on a battleground. And then that's it.
Yeah. And the reward, the current reward system, you know, unlocking the PvP specific traits and all that stuff and talents is good.
It takes a while.
Yeah. It's not enough is what you're saying. I mean, it's not enough of a...
The progression feel is still there, but it takes a really long time after a certain point. And also, you need to be having fun along the way, right? No matter how much they put a carrot on a stick in front of you, if like what you're doing isn't fun, it doesn't really matter, right? The thing that I'm gonna get from it needs to be worth it, but the fun is just not there. That's the unfortunate part. It's really unfortunate because I really enjoy PvP. In the past, historically, I've really enjoyed PvP.
You've been the guy, man. I mean, when we were
right
playing,
now, I don't feel like I'm having very much
fun. We were playing Lich King. You were like, oh, freaking, let's go. We got to unlock that boss down there, and we're controlling this and doing that. And like, it was like, I mean, you were you were the evangelist for all.
But I like
PvP.
To play against people. You know what I mean? That's the thing. So I guess there's also a possibility that my competitive itch is being scratched by Hearthstone and Heroes and Overwatch.
Yeah.
And my play against other people experience is not as good in WoW PvP. Like now WoW has become a PvE game for me, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Whereas before the PvP aspect of it was definitely part of the experience.
Yeah.
But now maybe it's just like I'm finding that in other games.
Yeah. So, I think that's very interesting, actually. Just to put it all in perspective, as Blizzard has branched out into competitive gaming not seen since their early StarCraft days, it's changed the landscape. It's made it so that it's too easy now to see the seams in WoW and go, well, this was never meant to be primarily a PvP game. This is a PvE experience with this little side shoot, and it had its draw and still does in many ways. But man, the competitive nature of these other games is so much more of a draw if you're looking for player versus player. I think that's true and huge for me as well.
I
feel like I'm getting my WoW PvP sometimes in Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, well, it's a different skill set, right? Like the World of Warcraft PvP is less twitchy and more about understanding the timing of your abilities and your rotations and mm-hmm. you know what abilities are good here and what's good when I'm a hunter and I see I'm against a paladin. What are the things I have to worry about, right? Like, I have to worry about them bubbling and lay on handsing and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I have to worry about them laying their hands on me. But, you know, so the skill set is more about understanding kind of like individual matchups within a chaotic environment yeah. and less about clicking and pressing things, you know, fast and whatever. Like, definitely there is, but a lot of it is spamming, right?
Mm, yeah.
Because it's World of Warcraft, right? So it's a little bit different. So like the skill set that you're getting in other games is much, it feels much more like you're kind of in control of an individual fight. Whereas in World of Warcraft, it's kind of, okay, like they use the trinket. Okay. I still have my trinket. So I'm ahead, that kind of stuff. It's the skill set that like doesn't really translate as well, I think, to just like a pure fighting experience.
Yeah.
So it was always more about the knowledge and understanding these kind of individual matchups. So maybe after having that, like I said, that itch scratched by all these other Blizzard games that are kind of doing it in a way that's a little more satisfying in a micro level, right? Like yeah. each individual skirmish and Heroes is very satisfying, right?
Yeah.
Whereas like in a World of Warcraft battleground, it's the kind of the overall experience, the battle for an objective. And when you finally cap a flag, you get that like kind of rush of adrenaline of we did it, that kind of thing. And then when, you know, you pop in and then 10 people leave, it's just like demoralizing, right? Because yeah. you're not getting that kind of fun little one-on-one kind of experience in the same way.
Yeah.
But definitely you can go. Someone in chat said, oh, everyone's down in the sewers. Yeah, you can go down the sewers and just, just duel. If that's yeah. what you like to do.
Yeah.
But that's never really been my thing. I've never really been much of like a, I was never out front of Orgrimmar just dueling people.
Me either. Yeah, I don't really like that. Although I didn't know this at the time, but I streamed this, but I thought the only way you could get to the cow level thing for the Diablo celebration deal, I thought the only way you could do it was queuing for a dungeon, a heroic, and then at the end of it, you'd get a portal and a goblin and all that. But down in the sewer, you'd get those would random pop.
You'd just get a treasure goblin down there. Whatever.
I had no idea. Yeah. So,
but you'd have to brave the sewer, Scott.
I know.
Yeah, you got to go down there and get killed.
Yeah, which is what happened. Dude. I got killed over and over, but I finally found one, and it was somebody else's portal, and I clicked it and went in there, and then I was, you know, sort of disappointed at how lame the cow was.
Every time I go down there, I'm just like, hey, don't kill me. I'm just trying to go pick up my weekly things that I don't know why I care about, but right. I'm just picking them up.
They don't care.
Look at the eyes and candles. I got no idea anymore. It's just this weird thing.
Yeah, it was fine. I don't think that event was all that great. That was the one I was most excited about, and it's the one that was the least fun for me. It was fine. It was just, you know, kill a cow and get out. Wasn't that?
But yeah, all of those things were fun in their little bite sized moments, mm-hmm. right? The Diablo stuff.
Sure.
Really though, when I looked back on it, just the fact that it was in every game.
Yeah,
made it feel kind of cool.
Yeah,
right?
it was a cool thing to do for sure. But the darkening of Tristram in Diablo itself was, after doing all of them and everything, was my favorite thing. I really
liked that. Yeah, by far.
That was really good.
It's the only one we know that's going to return each year.
Yeah,
So there you go.
We do that all the time. We'll always be darkening up that Tristram when we need to. Somebody in the chat room said something. I just want to make sure to give them a quick shout out. Soma Dream says, have you guys talked about the new artifacts yet? As a guardian druid, I am massively pumped to turn into a giant werebear, which is pretty cool. I forgot to mention that in the notes. But yeah, new artifacts, traits, models, all that stuff's coming. And I won't detail them all because, you know, everyone's got different classes they're into. But that's a thing. And then there are new factions. There are new world quests and more, they say. So much stuff.
Yeah. And again, it's getting to that point now where it's like, you know, because we've just had 1.5 to have two, you know, kind of already been like, oh, boom, there you go. You can test that as well. It's like, Blizzard, you sons of bitch. Oh, I can't believe you guys. They're trying to, you know, keep their word. And I'm, I'll find something to be annoyed about with them, though. Don't worry.
Yeah, you'll find it.
I'll be like, oh, it's too much content now.
Yeah, I can't play it all. You won't have to dig too far. You'll find it. I'm sure.
We'll see.
We mentioned the flying stuff, Pathfinder achievement added, blah, blah, blah. Oh, one small note. I don't know if you guys have been following this at all, but I guess there's like a weird meta war happening between two factions of the vanilla server crowd.
I did follow this slightly. What is it, Elysium?
Yeah, Elysium and
Elysium
the original.
Elysium is the new one, right?
And the new and the and, old one was...
the Stalarius.
Yeah.
So the Stourius people basically were like, we were not like, we don't want to be pirates here. We just wanted to get our vanilla servers.
Yeah.
Right. So we, you know, we met with Blizzard and we did all that. And we were trying to like, we made it originally. It was great. Blizzard told us we can't do it. So we're not then going to just do it anyway.
Yeah.
Right. And then the Elysium people are like, for Elysium, blah, 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 screw them, whatever. So they're a little more gung-ho about the whole thing.
Yeah.
So now there's like a little bit of splitting of these factions now, of the people who want to be official, and then the people who are like, I don't care about being official. We just want to play vanilla servers, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of funny because like I'm on the side of the nostalgic people here that... Yeah, you can do this the right way, I think. You just have to be patient.
Mm. Yeah, I'm all for it. Look, the idea, if Blizzard ever got around to figuring it out, I'm all for that original goal. Like, that's a thing that I think is cool. I don't know that they ever will. There's millions of arguments about that, why they wouldn't or would. Blah, blah, blah. But I'm all for that, have been since the beginning.
I think our position on this show has been, like, we think vanilla servers would be awesome.
Yeah. I just have a problem with this sort of like, you know, guerrilla warfare style piracy looking deal that goes on anyway. That's the part I have trouble with.
But I think we also, though, we come from a kind of a position of content creators a little bit where, you know, when someone's kind of stealing your work, that's not cool. It doesn't feel good, right?
Yeah, but if someone was just playing old episodes of The Instance, like every Friday at the same time, you know, back when it was good, then... I'd be like, I feel like we did some good shows. I feel like today's show was really good and stuff like that. And they'd be like, no, I liked episode 278. That was the best show. I'm going to play that one again.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay. Well, you know, I guess.
It's different in that they can do that if they want. And that's totally fine with us. But what I, this
with
to
Scott,
me.
It's totally fine with Scott. Don't label it.
Yeah. No, me and Terpster. Look,
I'm
as long
very
as
much
it's in
against
the Terpster Dills era. All right.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm get on board.
Yeah, no, I get it. But it's just, I don't know. Like, Blizzard's just going to shut down this new one. Or they're already trying to, or I don't know.
Blizzard won't. Activision Blizzard will, Scott. Oh, they're the bad guys.
Right.
Blizzard's the good guys all the time, forever.
Yeah.
We love you, Blizzard.
Yeah, they never do anything out
check
of bounced. Line. Sure.
Blizzard, you suck.
Oh, you bastards.
Yeah, so I think it's fun. It to me still comes across very childish, the whole thing. And I get it. It's a passion. And there's passion and there's this hunger for something. But really, when you boil down to it with kind of like a distance, less emotional connection to it, I just can't come and see it from any perspective where this is an acceptable thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm with the guys who think, well, guys, if we wait, we can work with Blizzard, you know, and it might happen one day, and I'd rather do it properly than try and, you know, rip off a company in a game that I love.
The fact is, like, Blizzard met with them, right? Like, they some of those people probably feel a little bit legitimized by that fact. And I think the thing is, the Elysium people, by the way, the fact that they're, like, naming themselves after, like, these crazy, like, I don't know. It speaks to, like, how much grandeur I think they think is going on here.
If you find yourself playing alone, do not worry, for you have already logged on, and you are in Elysium.
Yeah, it's like, okay, guys. Yeah. The point is, like, those people, I feel like, you know, they've kind of jumped through hoops, and it's a shame to jump through hoops and then just give it all up and say, screw it, we're just gonna go back to just doing whatever we want. Mm-hmm. And the other people, I think, are kind of people who were maybe playing on some of these servers and have a little bit more of this kind of guerrilla mindset, this guerrilla attitude about it. Mm-hmm. And so they're kind of being douches, to be honest. I did read through some of the, and I'm sure people are going to tweet at me and be like, Dills, we're not douches. And I'm like, yeah, well, you are. But I read through some of the, like, forum stuff where they're kind of talking back and forth. And it's kind of crazy because they all kind of want the same thing. But this happens a lot in a lot of different things where people want the same thing, mm-hmm. but can't quite decide on how to go about it. Right.
Yeah.
And so then they end up fighting because they have differences of opinion on the proper way to get said thing, right? Yeah. But they both, in the end, want the same thing. They want to play vanilla servers.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck to them.
It feels like politics 101. It feels like this is the age-old thing. You make a union because you're tired of being the workers in the 1920s that are getting underpaid and maltreated, and then there's a fission between the union leaders and they disagree on certain points. And now there's two unions because they can't agree. And it's like that stuff. It just feels like this is that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it's I think in the end, the people who are not going through proper channels are going to find out that that doesn't work the way they think it does.
Yeah.
And it's not going to end well for those people. I'm really glad to find out that some of the Elysium people are not the Nostalrius people are. Very kind of reasonable, because a lot of times their positions didn't come off as reasonable before.
Yeah.
So it was nice to finally like get that bit of.
Yeah, you never got that
side
out
of
it.
Them came out. I totally agree. Nice to see that you guys are willing to listen to people.
I agree, because it was always so negative in their direction, and it was easy.
It did
to get
feel
on
that way. Yeah.
Yeah, it was easy to get on that bandwagon and sort of pile on. But anyway, it's interesting. We'll see how that all goes. Let's see. This is breaking news. Wei Wang.
Well, it happened a couple of days ago, I think, in terms of announcement. But yeah, Wei Wang has left.
Where?
So Wei's been like the artist for Blizzard for the past like 12 years, I think, maybe more.
Yeah.
But basically, everything since, I think, Burning Crusade, box art was his drawing. So if you think back to, you know, Lich King grabbing his sword, Deathwing being all glowy and molten. Grom even, sorry, just looking really cool with his axe stuff. You know, that's all Wei, drawn all of those. He's only got better and better. And it's not even that, like, he did all of D3's kind of splash artwork, StarCraft II. The guy is just, he's been Blizzard and their kind of their key art for so long now.
No, he's the best. He's amazing.
He's so good. He was glowy, glowy, even sorry, on Sons of Storm. So, you know, that's Metzen, Sammy, and, Twin Cruiser, Renee and stuff. Like the artists of Blizzard. And it's just really kind of sad to see him go from just purely an admirer of his work.
Yeah.
The thing is, what's always impressed me is, like, you always look at the date because he dates his drawings. And they're always like, you know, 3-4 years before you've seen them. So all I hope is that there's just a huge backlog of stuff that's been that's just waiting for us over the next few expansions. But who knows where he's gone? My guess is Bonfire, just because why not? Let's kick up some drama. But yeah, sad.
Yeah. But we don't know where he's going. We don't know if he's.
Nope.
Okay.
No, no, he's going to he's going to a new job. You know, I don't think he's retiring. He's younger than Metzen, I think. So
yeah, and he's so good, dude. They should do an entire book of his art. Maybe they do. Maybe
they
it's
basically
out there.
Have really like yeah. when you look at like the kind of the coffee table Warcraft art books or Blizzard art books, like, you know, he did the cover and he's done like most of the big splash stuff in there as well.
Yeah.
Just a phenomenal artist that, and you can see the improvements over the years as well. Like, he did a lot of the concept work for the Warcraft movie, and I don't know how much, you know, that was his realization of other stuff,
yeah.
or how much his renders were what then was given to ILM to then make the characters, because they're indistinguishable between the finished rendered orc and his drawing of Durotan or Blackhand or Gul'dan or any of these kind of crazy cool characters. So, yeah, just a humongous talent. And just kind of, you know, wishing the best of luck, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, well, I'd love to hear what you're doing next, dude. You clearly could do whatever, because you're, you know, everyone thinks of Blizzard as an art, as a maker of art that also makes games sometimes. Like,
it would be like
reputation.
If Sammy left. If Sammy left, you know, you'd be like, whoa, hang on.
Yeah.
You know, he is the art of Blizzard. You know, that's just, no, you're not allowed to do that. You can't do that.
Yeah.
And I think he's so entwined in the company that, you know, he would have to do a medicine and retire.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't find him going elsewhere, I hope.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, and the Gallywix character model. Goblin
so
focus
I
next
wanted to
expansion.
Flag this up just because, yeah, so we know we're going to Argus at the end of this, and we know that's where it ends. There's a few things left unanswered. The old gods in the form of N'Zoth and Queen Ashara, the Naga. And so I think they've just basically, we've seen finally they're kind of updating Gallywix's model to be like the loading screen, which I think was a Way drawing, and I think was a concept done by Mark Gibbons, both now ex-Blizzard. Mm-hmm. And he's just this big fat goblin, you know, this goblin that's just, you know, so rich and wealthy and gluttonous that he's got, like, you know, like 80 chins. And I love it. I love it because he's so different. And when we had that Siege of Orgrimmar cinematic and you see the new characters and then it cuts over to like the goblins and it's just, you know, Gallywix is just a goblin with a top hat.
Yeah.
It's like, hell, it's about time. And it's really cool. So you can see that image on MMO Champion or wherever you like to go. Wowhead, I think, it's got it as well. But the thing is, the reason we're seeing one now is because they're making this for future exposure. You know, why now and rather than any other time? And I believe it's because he's going to be part of the story in the new expansion. And I think that will be, I'm hoping it will be that we get to go to the Undermine, which is like the big goblin hub that is, you know, underground. It's a mine. It's a big trading hub and would make a fantastic faction base for people to be at. But equally, you know, having it be there would be a great time to have Gallywix kind of re-enter the story as something of note. So I hope that after we've taken down Kil'jaeden, we come back and we've got to go to Ashara, to N'Zoth, the Undermine, and all these really cool, exotic places we've yet to see. Yeah. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, it's a pretty gnarly model. Ugh. Gross. Looks like it. I can almost smell what that dude smells like.
Just oh, yeah. At that.
It's nasty.
Time is money, friend. That's what
he did. Yeah. Man, Gallywix. I want to make a Gallywix deck in Hearthstone again, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I really tried to make that work for a while, and it wasn't bad. Yeah. It was, you know?
How did it? I just didn't get you far enough on the ladder, or what?
Well, he doesn't quite fit into everything you're trying to do with the deck, but he was like, it was a cool thing because of his, he's like a pretty big body.
Yeah.
It's like 5/8 for 6 or something like that. Mm-hmm. But every time your opponent cast a spell, you would give them a coin and take a copy of their spell, right? So it was a really interesting card. There's no card like that anymore. So
weird. He's also changed a lot. I remember the original Gallywix designs. He was like this just kind of a normal goblin with a hat on. And now he's like this nasty multi-chin looking freaking
Well, I love this early concept I saw from Mark Gibbons where he was being carried around on this huge chair by, like, I think it was like
he's like a
troll
Jabba the Hutt
slaves.
Now, right?
He
exactly,
is like Jabba
yeah,
the Hutt.
And he had sexy troll Leia bikini slaves. And it's like, oh, Gallywix, man.
Yeah.
Okay, you seem different. You seem interesting. I want to get to know you.
Yeah, he knows what's up.
One of my favorite things, by the way, about Hearthstone is that it makes these characters that were just kind of people I ran across in World of Warcraft and never thought about again.
Yeah.
Like suddenly I run into them and I'm like, oh, it's that guy.
Prince Gallywick's here.
And you're like, yeah, you just hear the battle cries. I love it.
But
yeah.
Like Hobart Grapplehammer, I've been he's been my engineer guy in Dalaran forever. Yeah. And I never even thought about it.
Yeah.
And finally, the other day I was like, oh, that's Hobart Grapplehammer.
I do the same thing in Heroes. I love that it expands it, even though sometimes it's in a goofy way, but it expands your knowledge of
your
characters.
Some of these characters are in your face in multiple places, right? And you have different, like, you kind of, each place they have a different kind of take on that character.
Yeah.
So,
like Valyra, kind of, for example. Let's talk about Valyra. Everyone's favorite rogue from Hearthstone is now on the PTR for Heroes of the Storm, and she's kind of a badass. She's pretty great. She's an assassin. A lot of Warcraft assassins lately. That seems to be kind of the role we're on. In that game, and next Tuesday should be out as an official patch and available, along with a pretty incredible rework of Tassadar, which I don't have to go into detail here. If you want to check out the core show, we go into much more depth on that at heroesforyou.com. But the Valyria experience so far has been pretty tight. She's really cool. For WoW fans that are hoping that there's a lot of sort of nods to her origins and things, everything down to her when she goes stealth, she makes the World of Warcraft stealth sound. She's not the first stealthy in the game, but she's the first one to feel like a Warcraft stealth character, and she's awesome. She seems real good, and she looks like the part and looks just like the Hearthstone lady, and it's going to be interesting. She brings a very interesting sort of counter to a bunch of characters that probably need it. So watch for that. That's coming out on Tuesday. And also custom matches are weird and interesting. Talk about weird. Like we messed around with them on the PTR on the streams Tuesday. Basically, you can just go in there and mutate the hell out of everything, and you can do it in real time. So we could crank up our damage against the other team to 300%. And we could knock our damage taken down to 25% of normal damage. You could speed up mount and running speed to, like, I don't know what the percentage was, but it was ridiculous. It's like a Benny Hill scene of them running around. And or you could go the other way and make it so you were super damagey and one shot kill is all you had to do. You could take merc camps without barely breathing on them. Like, it was kind of insane. And I'm sure somebody's going to come up with a bunch of recipes for really cool game types that they can custom out of that thing. But I'm not so sure. I mean, if anything, it's just sort of shown me that game balance is hard, and tweaking it and getting all those levels right is what matters more than you think. Like, you don't notice how much, how something feels or how quickly it moves or how much that plays into how a game feels. And here's the irony. We put it on slow motion so that everything was slow. So it looked like guys were just, and your spells were slow and everything. That match only took 5 minutes. We thought it was going to take us an hour. It took us 5 minutes. And that was even with, like, the death timers are like 3 minutes long. So it was ridiculous. Then we played the exact same game, same settings and all, except the opposite. It was sped up. That game took us 40 minutes. It was the weirdest thing. So I feel like I learned a bunch of game design lessons just messing with custom match settings on that game. It's really weird.
I feel like, To a certain extent, Heroes is getting all the things that I wish Hearthstone was getting right now. Mm. And I'm not doing a Heroes show anymore, so pardon my my ignorance on what they're actually getting. But I heard, like, rumblings about even, like, a tournament mode and, like, things like that.
Yeah,
like, being put into the client.
So there is a tournament mode now in custom games. It's not like a public Q4 type thing. But if you're doing custom stuff, you can set up tournament mode now. This other thing I'm talking about, the custom mode mutator stuff, is brand new and not even out on the full server yet. But the tournament stuff is. And they do seem to be leaning into giving people a lot more control over how these games go and how you'd set up a tournament and that sort of thing. I mean, the fact that Hearthstone still doesn't have a tournament mode is so weird to me. I don't get it.
Well, it's like they're giving you guys like a sandbox mode.
Yeah.
And now tournament mode is happening, and I'm just like, where is all this stuff in Hearthstone, man? Like, what the hell? Not to be like a complainer, but the fact is, it's like, I'm really glad that they're putting this stuff out in a game. I think it's great, but it's just it shows me the difference in, like, where the games are kind of at as far as back end and client and what the, like they can do with their client and their back end and what's possible. Yeah. Because, you know, that like they're really kind of pushing the boundaries on what you can do and an MMO, right? Like even Browder was talking about a map, like a custom map designer, right? Like you can build your own maps, you know, all this kind of stuff. Like all these things are kind of happening and it's really exciting, like really, really exciting because they don't have to do any of this, yeah. right? They could just be like, no, we've given you tons of maps, tons of heroes. Here's your gameplay. That's enough.
Yeah.
But they're really kind of continuing on past that. They're like pushing past that beyond into, you know, really kind of making the game its own thing, right? Like something completely different than what you have anywhere else
yeah.
in the mobile world. So
yeah, that's good.
Hats off to that team for doing this stuff. Yeah. It's great. I just hope that Team 5 is paying attention and going, look, look at how fun it is when you can turn it up and down all the settings, because I would love to be able to play with like 60 card decks and 100 life and all kinds of stuff.
Can you imagine how much fun?
Yeah. That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Hearthstone. And it wouldn't be. Yeah. It's not even. It's not even like. I mean, basically, the way it works in Heroes is they just give the person who's the leader just a bunch of controls.
Like the sliders and stuff, right?
Yeah, and you do it real time. You're doing it in the yeah. game, not before. You don't have to set it all up before the way you would with like an Overwatch custom match or something. You just do it on the fly, and if you decide halfway through, you know what, guys, that didn't work very well, you can reset everything, and all of a sudden, everyone's back in the Nexus, and we're starting over. Like, it's this great debug mode, testing mode, training mode. Ryan Reeder, who does Lords of the Storm, he was in there with us, and he was thinking, you know what this would be great for? You put it all in slow motion, and you have everyone work, or no, on fast motion, and you have everyone work on their skill shots, so hooking with sure. stitches in high speed means that when you do it in regular in a real game,
yeah, it's like putting a donut on a baseball bat before yes. you go up to the plate in baseball, right? It's
yes.
like,
yeah, that's a good way to explain yeah, it. Or
for later as well, yes.
Yeah, or practice, you know, train for football in the sand and in high altitudes and then mm-hmm. go play on turf in Florida and blow everyone's mind. It's like you have these interesting things you could do, and I have to think Hearthstone could have all sorts of benefits. Not just
yeah, I just want to play. I would like to play my friends with crazy rules that like the client just supports, right? Because there's all these things. Like you can do it to a certain extent in Hearthstone, right? Like I could tell my friend, okay, build a deck. Don't you know only goblins versus gnomes cards and the grand tournament cards, and like nothing else, right? And we mm-hmm. can do that, but then like discover effects will still discover cards from outside those sets and. Random effects will still include cards from outside those sets. And they'll be like, to a certain extent, it won't exactly be what we want. But there could be all this stuff where, you know, in card games, one of the biggest things that people do in tournaments are things like ban lists and individual formats that only work for this one tournament. And then you get to really watch professional players use like their deck building skills and all this kind of stuff. And right now in Hearthstone, you don't really get that experience. And, you know, it's like a little unfortunate because it's a card game. And one of the greatest things about card games is when you have the physical cards, you can just do anything you want with them, right?
Yeah.
So like in Magic, I could just give you cards and I can be like, well, what format do you want to do? Oh, let's do 5-on-5. And you can just make it work if you want to.
Yeah, it'd be really fun.
And Hearthstone doesn't really have a way to do that right now. Yeah. So
it'd be really fun to see some of that stuff.
Hopefully they will at some point.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Speaking of Hearthstone, tell me about the dev Q&A and what's coming. Is the game? It sounds like there are some things happening over there.
Yeah. So, biggest thing really that I could say about the dev Q&A, first of all, it's great that they did one,
yeah.
and it looked professional. Because one of the things that I kind of gave them crap for on the Angry Chicken was, you know, Ben Brode came out and said, "Well, I do some of these videos, and I do them from home, and I got to set the camera up and the lighting up, and then I got to put my kid to bed." Before I do it, and I was basically my response to that was like, "Why? Like you work at Blizzard? Can't you guys set a freaking thing up?
You're a billion-dollar company. Come on!" Yeah,
it was just kind of, I don't know. To me, I found it kind of odd that's what he said. This was like professionally done. You could see they were in some sort of studio space. There was soundproofing behind them and everything. And they were very candid and they came forward and they gave us a lot of information. So that was great. Just that the fact that they realized that the community was asking for them to start communicating more. Right. And they did it.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. But biggest things that came out of it actually were arena rankings are going to be coming out every month now. So you'll get to see the top 100 arena players, essentially. And then the other thing is that arena might be moving to a standard rule set. So right now, arena is the wild format. So you don't really, if that doesn't really make sense to you, basically what that means is every card in the entire game is available to you in arena, essentially, minus a few cards that they banned out specifically. But now the rotations will actually matter. So when new sets come out, arena will feel very different from before, whereas right now it doesn't dilute the card pool enough, right?
Yeah.
So it still feels fairly similar to the way it felt before. So 145 cards don't make as big of a difference in a set of 1,000 whatever, right? But when the set is only a few hundred, suddenly that's going to be a huge deal. And then lastly, they understand that ladder is a little bit too grindy, and they've said that they're going to do some improvements on that. So all really good stuff.
The idea of having it like once you pass rank 5, you can't drop below rank 5, for example.
Sure.
And they were talking about some of the things like that, which for me, I would love, because it just means then you don't worry too much about experimenting with different decks. I kind of feel like I should just play what is probably the most effective deck, less so than, you know what, I think it might be more fun to play this for a while. Oh, no, now I'm rank 20 again. You know.
Yeah, I think a lot of people struggle with what we call ladder anxiety, right? Where they get so concerned once they get to a certain threshold that they're going to lose it, that they're going to lose that spot, that they just stop queuing, period. And then also, or the other effect is that they feel nervous while playing, and then suddenly it's not like the same fun experience, right? Instead, they're kind of like freaking out the whole time while they're playing, like, oh no, like as soon as the opponent drops a one drop, it's like, oh my God, I'm losing. And you know, they kind of get that feeling. So suddenly if you add in this like one simple thing of you're rank 15, you can't go back below that, I think it's going to take a lot of stress off of a lot of players, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially that player section that, you know, it isn't necessarily like hitting legend every season. Which I think is, you know, that's whatever, 99% of the player base.
Right,
you need to be serving them.
Right. Well, that makes sense. Well, good. Seems like they're, you know, good outreach matters, and I don't know. That game seems like it's always in just a slightly weird place. Like there's always just
it's something somebody wants. It's like it's my favorite game by far.
But sure.
There's so many things that I think have all kind of come from the fact that they didn't expect the amount of success that they've gotten.
Yeah.
So early on, the client wasn't really being built out to support all sorts of fancy, fun new features, right?
Yeah.
So they've been kind of slow to come around a little bit.
Right.
But the cool thing is that the Team 5 very much feels like they're embracing the things that the community is saying to them.
Yeah.
And for a while, it felt like 2016 was the year of Team 5 kind of slinking back into its shell, and it was a little frustrating, especially as somebody who does a show about that game.
Yeah,
it felt like, wow, why are we like suddenly like Ben Brode isn't talking to us anymore? Suddenly, all these things like they're not saying to us,
right?
And it feels like they're not listening because they're not saying things. So this is great. 2017 seems to be starting off on a great foot where they're saying exactly what's going on, letting us know things that aren't just huge announcements here and there or new sets, because you know new sets are great. But that's like the bare minimum a card game should do.
Yeah.
That has to happen in the card game, right? Like you have to have new sets or else the game just stagnates. But one thing that they haven't been producing is features outside of that, right?
Right.
So a lot of information and cool things being said about what that is. Features outside of just new sets.
Right.
Very exciting.
That's good stuff. Overwatch is getting the Year of the Rooster event. Starts on the 24th. Winston gets to be a big monkey king. Roadhog is a pig monster. Reinhardt is the river monster apprentice, and Zenyatta is Sun Wukong's Buddhism master. This is all stuff from the Into the West, very old book that's all about something to do with Chinese stuff that I don't know. So I don't want to pretend like I know. Anyway, it happens on the 24th, and D.Va's getting a new ornate-looking skin based on a Korean video that was put on the Overwatch account in Korea. It looks like this, I don't know, it's almost like a building. Instead of a mech, but yeah, they seem to be all in on this stuff, Terpster, this idea that, yo, we like holidays and we like celebrating and we like selling new skins.
You know what? Exactly. Yeah. If I was making as much money selling crates as them, I'd love holidays. Man, I'd be having holidays. Hey, guess what, guys? Another week. And today we're celebrating this thing. Yeah.
It's Boxing Day.
But it is cool.
Yeah. Boxing Day. That would have been
it
great.
It is very cool.
I really enjoyed
Amazon Prime Day. Make sure you get all your Prime skins.
I enjoyed the Christmas one quite a bit, but
they're all good. Yeah, honestly, I joke, but I'm the first in line to buy these things. So yeah. It is nice. It's good stuff. It keeps the game looking fun and crazy.
Yeah.
They always add fun, you know, zany animations and other things beyond just the skins. And that team keeping busy making stuff. Yeah, huzzah.
The game's
keep
great.
Keep it coming.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that game.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
All right, time for the town crier. This is where we talk about stuff that you send in. This is an email we got from Barry X is his name. The email address he used to send it in is the same one you can use, folks. theinstance@gmail.com. And he says this: hey, guys, I've hit that wall again. I'm having a hard time wanting to do the daily things in WoW at this strange, I think he means the stage of the expansion. But this time it feels different than Warlords. There, I felt like we had nothing to do. In this case, they are giving us lots and lots to do. It's more of just me being a little pooped. Maybe 7.2 will get me off my butt again. Love to hear your thoughts, Barry. We talked about this kind of last week with Patrick, or 2 weeks ago, I guess. This idea that, you know, it's natural, and especially if you're playing like crazy in the beginning, it's natural to hit sort of a wall in WoW and go, all right, well, what am I doing? Do I really feel like doing this right now? And WoW or Blizzard has a lot of other distracting games to sort of tempt you away from that sometimes. But I don't know. It's like they're not putting out enough content, and that's why people aren't playing, or now we're saying, well, I'm not playing as much because it's too much content. Like, I don't know where Blizzard wins this. Maybe he's this guy's an outlier. I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of where he is right now too. I'm not playing every day the way I used to.
It's like the natural cycle of things, yeah, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't think this guy has to worry about it. There's got to be stuff to do real soon. I think we're all kind of in the similar spot where it's like, especially if you've been like grinding the whole way so far, yeah, like you've probably kind of gotten there. Right.
Yeah.
There's not that much going on anymore that's like brand new now.
Right.
Right. So I think it's okay to just kind of put it down for a little while if you're feeling that, because 7.2 is going to be huge. Mm-hmm. There's going to be so many things. Mm-hmm. Just like, don't burn yourself out. Right.
Yeah.
There's no reason to do that.
There's not. I mean, people pay $15 a month and maybe they're feeling like they're not getting that out of it. You think take a break, Terpster? That's the way?
Just take a break. Right. Yeah. I mean, again, the thing about dropping sub is, you know, come 20-year anniversary, they're going to send out some amazing thing that only people who've been subbed up for like 20 years will get. But you know, once you break it, you're fine. Just don't worry about it.
Yeah,
it's fine. Come back when you're ready. And often, you know, if you believe what I read on Reddit, you know, you can just send customer support like a cool email and they just give you a month for free. be like, hey, I drew a picture of Thrall and Garrosh playing hopscotch because I think they actually would be friends. And they're like, sweet, there you go, 30 days. And you're like, yes.
Really?
Thank you.
Is that really true?
Yeah.
They've been doing that.
Yeah, they do it as one-offs. Yeah, because they know that it then turns into a huge post on Reddit and everyone goes about how great they are. So yeah, I'm all for it.
All right.
More of that, please.
All right. Well, there you
go. Try it.
You know, it's funny because I've definitely gotten to the point where I feel like what I have been doing, I'm kind of bored doing.
Hmm.
But luckily for me, I haven't been like on the grind doing everything, right?
Right.
So the other day I logged in. Oh, by the way, I got my first legendary the other day.
Hey!
Yeah,
congrats.
It was funny because I queued up for a heroic because I was just kind of I was watching something on Twitch or something like that. And I was just, it wasn't something that needed my 100% attention.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know, I'll do like a little bit of WoWing or something. It's like, I don't feel like doing a PvP right now. I'll queue up for heroic, something I don't have to really pay attention to either. I can just be, you know, kind of zoning out.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to the end. And a friggin' legendary drops, and everyone in the group is like, what? Like, I've never seen this happen in heroic.
Weird.
But I've kind of just started to finally drift off into other things that I haven't been doing, right? Like, I haven't been maxing out my engineering and enchanting, things like that. Like, I've been more focused on gearing up and, you know, world quests and doing all of the the content that I can do, mythics and LFR and things like that.
Yeah.
That I just had left a lot of things just kind of laying there. So I just started moving into doing some of those things kind of here and there. And the game still has so many things that if you want to pivot, you definitely can.
Oh, yeah. More than ever, for sure.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I think that one of the things too is like just definitely don't feel like you have to do the thing that you've been doing, right? Yeah. Like I think there's always these, they kind of like put these goals out there and the goalpost is so far away.
Yeah.
And you feel like I have to do this every day or else I'm falling behind. Like now that I've taken that mentality out of myself that I don't feel like I'm behind, I'm just where I am. Suddenly that goalpost like doesn't matter to me anymore. And I can just kind of look at what's in front of me and be like, what do I feel like doing? And there's plenty of things that I can do and they all feel different. The game really excels, I think, when you kind of move that mentality away from I have to be at the, you know, bleeding edge of content. I have to be at the, like, I have to have the best gear,
yeah,
and my engineering stuff and all my crafting has to be at, you know, maxed out. And once you kind of take that, which is the mentality I used to have, but once you kind of take that mentality away, like, the game just feels more relaxing and fun and chill. And I'm having a blast in World of Warcraft right now. So
yeah it's a different, yeah. Maybe it's just the mindset thing.
Yeah, I think it is.
That's a good point. Thanks for your email, Barry X. It's a strange name. Anyway, the instance.
Is it Barry Kiss?
I don't know. Barry, I've never even heard this name before. Theinstance@gmail.com is where he sent that email. You too at home can send them there and get answers from us right here on the show. I think it's going to do it for us. Terpster, anything going? How's your beard coming back? Doing good?
Yeah, day by day. Gets that little bit longer each time. It's nice.
It's not like a thumb anymore or whatever?
No. Well, it would be like a very hairy thumb. So probably like my thumbs.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens if you play with it too much.
That's right. That's what I've heard.
So, yeah, I don't think I've got anything to really promote past keep being
more
you guys.
Lore cool stuff cool. Coming from us, more lore shows. We I know we keep talking about this, but
yeah, we need to do one. Yeah. What should we do one on?
I don't know. We should do what did we do last time, the Sargeras stuff. We should go to, I don't know, we should look at what's hot right now with this new content in 7.2. Maybe we could build something around that.
Gallywix. So hot right now.
Gallywix, all about Gallywix.
Could do.
Yeah.
Could do.
We could do all his background. So more on that soon. Dills, what's going on over there, man? I've been hearing about this wrestling show a lot. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. 1-900 Wrestling featuring myself and Justin Robert Young. People may know him from Morning Stream, Night Attack, all sorts of stuff. Oh, Hotline Monday he does with you.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, good times.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We do now, it's official. We're on iTunes. You can find us there. We have a Patreon set up, and the Patreon is really has one goal. And that's to get me to WrestleMania this year.
What a goal. I love that.
If we can reach our goal, and it's not a very big goal, me and Justin will be on the floor at WrestleMania this year. That would be incredible.
Yeah.
We'll bring all of that content that comes along with that to you guys. So check it out. 1-900 Wrestling. It's on iTunes. We stream it every Monday on Justin's channel, which is twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. It's been a ton of fun. So if you like wrestling, come check it out.
I'm just trying to figure this out. So on Patreon, it says you need like $63 to go to Mania. That can't be right. Surely it's more.
Well, no, that's $63 an episode from here. All right, to Mania.
I see. Okay.
That's the goal that we have to reach essentially.
I see. Okay. So that's
to get me there. Yeah.
You get lots of stuff for that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But so like right now, the biggest thing is you join our little wrestling community, and every time you're watching wrestling, we're all hanging out in the Discord and stuff. So Monday Night Raw, SmackDown Live, all the pay-per-views, we're all kind of hanging out in the Discord, which is pretty fun. So it's been the show's been a blast to do. We're doing little bits and comedy stuff and little games and all kinds of things. So it's not just us sitting around nerding out and trying to, you know, why isn't John Cena wrestling, blah blah blah, like that's not really what we're doing at all. We're trying to turn it into more of a fun experience and bring, you know, our personalities to the world of wrestling. So it's
are you
been,
doing
it's
anything
really
about
cool.
the UK stuff going on?
No.
Oh yeah, we talked a lot about it last week. Yeah,
amazing.
Cool. Yeah, it was fantastic. Were you there? You should have gone, right?
I wasn't. No, but okay. I should have.
It was that was a crowd that was on fire the entire time. I did watch quite a bit of it. It seemed like
It's just because it's cold over here, so you know it just makes sense.
You gotta warm up. I see.
But yeah, that's really good stuff. Also, twitch.tv/WillieDalesSF, where I'll be streaming. I've been a little bit sick the last week, so I haven't been streaming. But today I can actually talk again, so you should see me tonight. And I just went 9-0 with an aggro pirate beast hunter on the wild ladder while we were doing the show. So.
Nice, well nice. Done. Well
check
done.
That out, I guess.
I should have mentioned I've been solo playing a Diablo season 9 character in story mode, which I haven't done for 7 seasons.
And,
story mode.
Okay, granddad.
Completely
what
solo.
Level are you?
Completely solo. 60. I just hit it yesterday.
Wow. And, see, you would have been that in like an hour.
No, I know.
You've done it normally.
No, I know. I totally know. But I think I'm
Paragon 60.
I've really enjoyed it. Like I'm here to tell you part of my long love for many, many years of Diablo is that kind of solitary experience. I'm playing a monk this time around because it's the one I've never played fully. Okay. And every season it's like, bam, okay, I ram through here and then I'm left with end game. But then I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I lost something in that process. So it's just fun. It's fun to revisit the story points. But more importantly for me, it's back to I'm exploring these dungeons. I'm killing stuff and I'm getting great drops. And it just you feel the progression instead of just feeling like you're being carried. And I missed that.
That is cool. I do like that. By the way, the monk, once you start unlocking the seasonal story stuff or whatever, the seasonal Shift J.
Yeah.
When you start unlocking that stuff, that gear set is really cool, man.
Yeah, it's a good one this year.
You have like a whole bunch of dudes with you and they all get the allies, they all get super powerful. It's pretty fun.
I'm pretty stoked about that set. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of playing Diablo the old-fashioned way and I'm kind of enjoying it. So, anyway, wanted to mention that. I've been streaming that as
stream
well.
Stream it.
Yeah, I have been doing some of that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so probably do.
And where's that, here?
Frogpants.com/TN freshly partnered twitch.tv/frogpants and you can go there and see all kinds of content including live podcasts and of course games and art as well. I'm creating all kinds of stuff there, so do check it out. In the meantime, instance.net is the website to go to if you want to get the rest of your instance groove on. You can find us on Twitter at Instance Show, at Scott Johnson, at Willie Dills, at the _T, and Patrick, who should be back next time, is at Not Patrick. You can find more great shows like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Terpster, for Dills, and for Patrick. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that's just not supposed to be quiet. Hold on, let's try that one more time. Here you go.
No, just fade out. You can...
Brought out the old Pandaria there.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.